Devahuti.
Devahuti.
Uvacha.
Said.
Sarvam.
All.
Tat.
That.
Bhagavan.
Your Lordship.
Mayam.
For me.
Upovaha
has been fulfilled.
Pratishrutam
promised.
Ata api
yet.
May
unto me.
Prapanayai
unto one who has surrendered.
Abhayam,
fearlessness.
Datum,
to give.
Arhasi,
you deserve.
Translation.
Sri Devahuti said,
"My Lord, you have fulfilled all the promises you gave me.
Yet, because I am your surrendered soul, you should give me fearlessness too."
Please repeat.
Sri Devahuti said,
My Lord,
you have fulfilled all the promises you gave me.
Yet because I am your surrendered soul,
you should give me fearlessness too.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada.
Devahuti requested her husband to grant her something without fear.
As a wife, she was a fully surrendered soul to her husband,
and it is the responsibility of the husband to give his wife fearlessness.
How one awards fearlessness to his subordinate is mentioned in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam.
One who cannot get free from the clutches of death is dependent, and he should not become a spiritual master, nor a husband, nor a kinsman, nor a father, nor a mother, etc.
It is the duty of the superior to give fearlessness to the subordinate.
To take charge of someone, therefore, either as a father, mother, spiritual master, relative, or husband, one must accept the responsibility to give his ward freedom from the fearful situation of material existence.
Material existence is always fearful and full of anxiety.
Devahuti is saying, "You have given me all sorts of material comforts by your yogic power, and since you are now prepared to go away, you must give me your last award so that I may get free from this material conditional life."
Translation again.
Sri Devahuti said, "My dear Lord, you have fulfilled all the promises you gave me.
Yet because I am your surrendered soul, you should give me fearlessness too."
The fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam states, Guru Nusasyat,
no one should become a spiritual master, a father, a mother, a husband, or a superior relative, unless he or she can deliver his or her dependents from repeated birth and death.
In the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that one can be delivered from the repetition of birth and death only by devotional service. Therefore,
the guru, the father, the mother, the husband, the ruler, must give instructions to the dependent so that the dependent can engage in devotional service and thus become freed from the cycle of birth and death. Acharya. Acharya means one who teaches by example. And therefore, the spiritual master, the mother, father, husband, and other superior relatives must not only give instructions on the science of devotional service, but they must also set the example of how to execute devotional service. And here we find that the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself did the same. When Lord Krishna came personally 5,000 years ago, he demanded, Sarvadharman Parityajya Mamekam Saranam Vraja, surrender unto me. Aham Tvam Sarvapapebhyo Mokshayisyami Masuchaha. And if you surrender to me, I will deliver you. And how does one surrender to Krishna? Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskaru. One must become a devotee of Krishna. One must always think of Krishna and worship Krishna and bow down to Krishna or surrender to Krishna. So Krishna gave the instructions in Bhagavad Gita, but people did not know how to follow the instructions. And therefore Krishna came again as Sri Krishna Chaitanya to show by personal example how one can surrender to Krishna, how one can always think of Krishna and worship Krishna and bow to Krishna. So we also have the same responsibility. Almost every one of us is the superior relative to someone, either as teacher or father, mother, or husband, or temple authority. Almost every one of us has someone who depends on us or learns from us or has someone who renders service to us or takes care of us. So we have a responsibility to grant them fearlessness. As long as we are in the material world, we must be fearful because the material world is full of fearful conditions. As we were reminded by the events on Saturday, death can come at any moment. We have our bodies, we have our possessions, we have our relatives, we have so many things related to the body and dependent on the body. But at any moment, death can come and take it all away. Mrityu sarva haras chaham. And we can do nothing. We can do nothing. So we should not think that, well, it happened to him or it has happened to others, but it won't happen to me. How do we know? How can we say? So we don't know how much time we have. And therefore, with whatever time we have left, we should utilize the opportunity to engage in devotional service and prepare for the ultimate test, for the final moment, so that we can think of Krishna at the time of death and go back home, back to Godhead. Of course, there is a little paradox here, because one book of moral instruction, Hitopadesh, says that for economic development, one should think that he will live forever. And for religious performances, one should think that he could die at any moment. So, just like the story that Srila Prabhupada told of the yogi, he was destined to live until all the hairs in his body fell out. And I think one hair fell out every 1,000 years. And he was living on the beach without any dwelling. And someone asked him, "Well, why don't you build yourself a house or a hut?" And he replied that this life is so temporary. Why should I spend my time building a house? I'll have to leave it anyway. I should use my time to become God conscious. But of course, we do have to protect the body. The body is also Krishna's property and meant for Krishna's service. So to protect the body, we have to make some arrangements. And in the modern civilization, one may have to work very hard just to get the money to keep the body and soul together. But in the process, one will become so exhausted that even if one wants to engage in devotional service, one feels he has no time or energy because he's just so exhausted with the hard struggle for existence. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada wanted farm communities for householders so that they wouldn't have to be subjected to the competition for survival or the competition for success in the big cities. They could live peacefully and happily just by depending on the land and the cows. And actually, one can live happily in such a situation, especially if one is elevated to the mode of goodness, which again is possible through chanting Hare Krishna and Krishna consciousness, as Srila Prabhupada explained in the class yesterday. But because people generally are in the lower modes of nature, Rajas and Tamas, they want some excitement. They want some excitement. And therefore they prefer to live in the cities. And then to live in the city, they have to work hard. And then in the process, they have very little time and energy left for Krishna consciousness. But the great advantage of living in the city is that one can preach. And the value of preaching is so great
that it practically makes all the struggle worthwhile. That is the struggle to preach. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada opened centers in the biggest cities of the world, like Los Angeles, so that we can meet the conditioned souls and bring them to Krishna consciousness. And the mercy we get by bringing people to Krishna consciousness is so great that we can be delivered by the mercy of Guru Gauranga, just by the effort we've made to spread Krishna consciousness. But of course, to preach, we have to have be exemplary, at least to the extent that we chant 16 rounds and follow the regulative principles. That will give us the potency to preach, and that will also make us exemplary enough so that people can be inspired to take up the practices of Krishna consciousness. And by such activities, Srila Prabhupada and Sri Sri Gaur Nithai will be so pleased that they will themselves bring us back home, back to Godhead. But if one is not preaching, and of course even householders can preach, as we all know, but if one is not preaching, then it's better not to live in the cities. It's better to live on the farms and live peacefully and happily there without demanding too many material things and engaging one's time in Krishna consciousness. In 1977, we attended the Mahakumbh Mela with Srila Prabhupada in Allahabad. As most of you probably know, the Kumbh Mela takes place every 12 years in Allahabad at the confluence of the Ganges River and Jamuna River and Saraswati River. And holy people from all over India come there to give association to ordinary people and to other saintly persons. And without any advertising, millions of people come. It's the largest gathering on earth. I think when we were there, the camp itself had about 12 million people. And then on certain auspicious dates, special dates, when one is supposed to bathe and get extra benefit, I think there were up to 20 million people. And they're all coming for liberation, basically. They're all coming for liberation. And they have faith that if they take bath at the auspicious moment in the sacred waters, that they will be liberated. But Srila Prabhupada has explained that the real purpose of the Kumbh Mela is to give people the chance to associate with saintly people. And they're all sorts. They're devotees, they're yogis, they're gyanis. But still, they're all pursuing the goal of liberation. So, after the program ended at the Mahakumbh Mela, Srila Prabhupada and most of the disciples left for Bhubaneswar. And a few of us stayed behind to dismantle the camp and, pay the bills, get the refunds, and whatever else. And in the end, we were just living in not even, what can I say? Gradually, anyway, there was three of us, and there was just like a tent, I guess you could say a tent, but it was more like a hut. And it was so pleasing just to live on the sand by the near the river, not that close, but near the river, and in this sort of grass hut, and just chant and associate. And I actually felt, you know, I didn't want to leave. It was just so nice. There were no toilets or anything, you know. We might think we can't live without toilets, but, and of course the system is such that, but there, you just go out with your lota, and you don't need a toilet. So it was so simple and so nice, and we felt so peaceful and so happy. We actually felt we could just live our life like this. You don't need anything else. And I remember the train ride back to Bombay. It's like, most of India is rural, although India has a huge population, but actually most of India is rural. And it was still nice, you know, chanting on the train. But then as we got close to Bombay, you know, like there were more signs of civilization, and I could feel like my whole body was becoming tense. It was like, oh no. And then, you know, first the buildings on the outskirts, then the buildings got closer and closer together, then the traffic got more congested, the buildings got still closer together, and finally we were back in hell. But when I was sick, when I got sick in India and came here, actually to LA to recuperate, and Prabhupada sort of wanted me to go back, you know, when I was ready, when I was well enough, and he said, back home, back to Bombay. But obviously the phrase echoed, you know, back home, back to Godhead. And the implication was, if I go back to my service in Bombay, I'll go back home, back to Godhead. So that's the paradox also, that Bombay is hell, but it's also back to Godhead. Going back to Bombay means back to Godhead if you're serving and preaching. I mean, the same applies to any of us in any situation. So if we're not going to, you know, really practice simple living and high thinking in farm communities, then we should preach. And that will make us eligible to go back to home, back to Godhead, and free us from fear. And in the process, we're giving the instructions to others how they can also become free from fear. One man approached Srila Prabhupada in Bombay saying, "Swamiji, Swamiji, please save me, please save me. You're the only one who can save me. I know you are, I know you are. Please save me, please save me." And Srila Prabhupada said, "I cannot save you. You have to save yourself. But I can give you the instructions by which you can save yourself." So, of course, the relationship between the surrendered soul and the superior authority is that the surrendered soul follows the instructions and the superior authority gives the proper instructions. And if the dependent follows the instructions, then the dependent can be delivered. So we have to ourselves, Shravanam Kirtanam, we have to hear from Srila Prabhupada, hear from the Vedic literatures, hear from the saintly persons. What is the process for liberation? And we have to follow the process, and then Shravanam Kirtanam, then we repeat the same instructions to our dependents and at the same time set the proper example. And then all of us can be delivered by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the disciplic succession and be delivered from the fearful existence of material life where there's danger at every step. Hare Krishna. So are there any questions or comments? Bhrigupati Prabhu?
Maharaj, is part of the reason why Srila Prabhupada wanted devotees to go to the Mayapur festival as often as possible to give them a break from the intensity of preaching in the cities? I know part of the reason was, of course, to get association, but was that aspect there as well? Did he ever express that, in other words?
Well, of course, the holy dhams are transcendentally situated. And Srila Prabhupada wanted us to get the association of the dham and the deities in the dham and, of course, the devotees. And the Bhagavatam says that the same practices performed in the dham are multiplied 1,000 times in value. So we definitely get great spiritual benefit. Of course, the Bhagavatam also says they're multiplied 1,000 times in the temple. But maybe at the temple in Mayapur, they're multiplied 1,000 times 1,000. But I would say that we need balance. We all need balance. Even the Bhagavad Gita says that one should be regulated in his eating, sleeping, work, and recreation. And again, the Bhagavatam says that the desire to travel and see places should be used in the process of pilgrimage. So I think when Srila Prabhupada introduced a program in Krishna consciousness, especially an important one like attending the Mayapur festival or visiting the holy places in India, he did so with many purposes in mind. And it is sort of the balance. I mean, even in the material world, people get 2 weeks holiday, and I'm sure that they've realized that, you know, the balance between work and recreation is important so that the people continue with their work. So with us, the balance is also important. But with us, it's all Krishna conscious. It's all absolute because it's all Krishna conscious. It's just like, I think once Srila Prabhupada wanted to punish some devotee, so he told the devotee he had to distribute so many Krishna books. So it's like, there's no duality. There's no like good and bad in Krishna consciousness. It's all good on the absolute platform. So working hard to preach is good, and going to the festivals to associate
and get some relief from the particular type of stress involved in preaching is also good. But because they're all filled with Krishna consciousness, they're all the same on the absolute platform, and they're all absolutely wonderful. But still, the balance is helpful. Archita raised his hand first, but you're the temple president, so. Archita Prabhu?
Maharaj, in relationship to the recent passing of Mahamadasudha, sometimes when devotees would die, especially in car accidents, Prabhupada would say that this so-sensuous devotee died prematurely. But then on the other hand, we know there is predestiny, there is your chart, there is not a blade of grass moving without Krishna's sanction. So it seems where is the question of prematurely, like if something happened, then it was supposed to happen. So can you talk a little bit about that, this business of premature death as opposed to something happening when it should happen?
Well, I'm just taking the word premature. Mature means you mature, like there's a natural cycle. The fruit, you know, is raw and it gradually matures, and when it's fully mature, it falls off the tree. So premature means that we haven't reached the full maturity of old age in the life cycle. It doesn't mean that it's before Krishna's plan for us. It just means it's before the full maturity of the bodily process of aging and maturity. Because we know from instances in the Bhagavatam that Krishna arranges for devotees to leave early so that they can come back to Godhead sooner by the arrangement of Krishna. So, Vas Prabhu.
This particular verse, it was discussed about, you know, fearlessness. So, you know, it's kind of stating that if one's really in Krishna consciousness, one becomes fearless. So my question is, it appears that, you know, devotees, when you're young, you know, age-wise, it seems you're really fearless. And as you mature in age, it appears that this fearlessness kind of dissipates. Kind of seems to poof away. In fact, they have a saying that, is there something like that? Fools trend where angels don't, yeah. Or something. I don't know what that is. So I'm just trying to distinguish as to what real, you know, we're talking about this fearlessness, but still, as a devotee, you know, I have fears. I mean, I have, I'm fearful of certain situations. If I see something and I think, That's kind of, I don't want to be there. Whereas someone else may say, well, I don't really care. So when are you a fool? And when are you really fearless?
Good question. As with everything, there's two types, material and spiritual. So there's material fear and there's transcendental fear. Here I think of one verse from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam where Devaki and Vasudev were fearful for the life of Krishna, although of course Krishna can never be killed. But out of parental affection, they were afraid for Krishna's life. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that the Krishna consciousness movement is Krishna himself, and nothing can stop the Krishna consciousness movement. But still, sometimes when there are difficulties, when there are attacks of demons or other difficulties,
we feel concerned. We become fearful for the Krishna consciousness movement, just as Vasudeva and Devaki became fearful for Krishna's life out of affection. So if we're afraid that something will happen to the movement, something will happen to the temple, that's not necessarily material. In fact, that's spiritual. Once when Satsvarupa Maharaj was the temple president in Boston, he wrote to Srila Prabhupada saying that he was always in anxiety. And Srila Prabhupada wrote back that, you know, you're in anxiety for Krishna, so it's transcendental. Now, if we come to the body, you know, the body is meant for Krishna's service. But until we're completely liberated, we also have material attachment to the body. So I would say in the case of most of us, there would be some proportion of material fear and anxiety and some proportion of spiritual anxiety and fear. And really all we can do is continue the process of hearing and chanting and serving. And then the spiritual proportion will increase and the material proportion will decrease. But we do feel fear. I mean, even Srila Prabhupada in the purport I quoted said that he felt fear for the movement. But otherwise his name, Abhay Charan, means one who is fearless, having taken shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. So in that sense we have no fear. But out of love for Krishna, the devotee may feel fear for Krishna and Krishna's movement. And Srila Prabhupada said that to become a devotee doesn't mean to defy the laws of nature. That I'm a devotee, so let me put my head in the mouth of the tiger. So in our youth, we might have been a little bit naive about the laws of nature or even about what Krishna consciousness was. So we might think, oh, I'm a devotee, let me put my head in the mouth of the tiger. But Srila Prabhupada said that is not Krishna consciousness. We take normal precautions for the body. We go to doctors, you know, we try to eat properly, exercise, and take normal precautions for the body, but in the end we have to depend on Krishna and try to chant Hare Krishna so that no matter what happens, we'll be assured of continued service. All right. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.